Jesus, what a way to celebrate! It's a long story, he said, gesturing round. Let's find somewhere quieter. She nodded eagerly. I know a place. The trip on the tube carriage wasn't quite what Joshua had in mind. There were plenty of spare bedrooms at the lake house which he could code-lock, but Ione had been surprisingly adamant, that elusive hint of steel in her personality surfacing as she said, "My apartment is the quietest in tranquillity. You can tell me everything there, and we'll never be overheard." She paused, eyes teasing. Or interrupted. That settled it. They took the carriage from the little underground station which served all the residences around the lake. The tube trains were a mechanical system, like the lifts in the starscrapers, which were all installed after Tranquility reached its full size. Bitech was a powerful technology, but even it had limits on the services it could provide. Internal transport lay outside the geneticist's ability. The tubes formed a grid network throughout the cylinder, providing access to all sections of the interior. Carriages were independent, taking passengers to whichever station they wanted, a system orchestrated by the habitat personality, which was spliced into processor blocks in every station. There was no private transport in Tranquility, and everyone from billionaires to the lowest-paid spaceport handler used the tubes to get around. Joshua and Ione got into a waiting 10-seater carriage, sitting opposite each other. It started off straight away under Ione's command, accelerating smoothly. Joshua offered her a sip from the fresh bottle of Norfolk Tears he'd liberated from Paris Vasilovsky's bar, and started to tell her about the rescue mission, eyes tracing the line of her legs under the flimsy sarong. There had been a research starship in orbit around a gas giant, he said. It had suffered a life support blowout. His father had got the 25-strong crew out, straining the Lady Macbeth's own life support dangerously close to capacity. And because several of the injured research crew needed treatment urgently, they jumped while they were still inside the gas giant's gravity field, which wrecked some of Lady Macbeth's energy-patterning nodes, which in turn put a massive strain on the remaining nodes when the next jump was made. The starship managed the jump into Tranquility's system, a distance of 8 light-years, ruining 40% of her remaining nodes in the process. "He was lucky to make it," Joshua said. "The nodes have a built-in compensation factor in case a few fail, but that distance was really tempting fate." "I can see why you're so proud of him." "Yes, well," he shrugged. The carriage slowed its madcap dash down the length of the habitat and pulled to a halt. The door slid open. Joshua didn't recognize the station. It was small, barely large enough to hold the length of the carriage, a featureless white bubble of polyp. Broad strips of electrophosphorescent cells in the ceiling gave off a strong light. A semicircular muscle membrane door was set in the wall at the back of the narrow platform. Certainly not a starscraper lobby. The carriage door closed and the grey cylinder slipped noiselessly into the tunnel on its magnetic track. Currents of dry air flapped Ione's sarong as it vanished from sight. Joshua felt unaccountably chilly. "Where are we?" he asked. Ione gave him a bright smile. "Home. Hidden depths," the chill persisted obstinately. The muscle membrane door opened like a pair of stone curtains being drawn apart, and Joshua gaped at the apartment inside, bad vibes forgotten. Starscraper apartments were luxurious even without money for elaborate furnishings. Given time, the polyp would grow into the shapes of any furniture you wanted, but this... It was split level, a wide oblong reception area with an iron rail running along one side opposite the door, overlooking a lounge 4 meters below. A staircase set in the middle of the railings extended out for 3 meters, then split into 2 symmetrically opposed loops that wound down to the lower floor. Every wall was marbled. Up in the reception area it was green and cream. On both sides of the lounge it was purple and ruby. At the back of the lounge, it was hazel and sapphire. The stairs were snow-white. Recessed alcoves were spaced equidistantly around the whole reception area, bordered in fluted sable-black columns. One of them framed an ancient orange spacesuit, the lettering Russian Cyrillic. The furniture was heavy and ornate, rosewood and teak, polished to a gleam, carved with beautiful intaglio designs rich with age, the work of master craftsmen from centuries past.